SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Jermaine Airey. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time to set the stage for a tremendous football weekend. Week 3 of the NFL regular season already underway. And the Jets dominate in their home opener on a short week divisional duel against the New England Patriots. Maybe week 3, Ranieri, is where we start to find out a little bit about what these teams will truly look like and our true evaluations throughout the entirety of 2024. Week 4 of the college football season also underway. South Alabama, another drubbing on a Thursday night. We've got 3 games on this Friday, including our first of 4 ranked versus ranked matchups tonight in Lincoln, Nebraska, between the Huskers and the Illini of Illinois. All of that, Ranieri, over these 3 hours. In some excellence in history yesterday in Major League Baseball, courtesy of Shohei Ohtani as well.
So you're saying there's not a lot going on. By the way, kudos to you for not working in your Syracuse Orangeman in that monologue. I had a bet with the guys in the back that for sure we would have been talking Syracuse, but nope, well done, Ben.
Listen, I will get to the Syracuse Orange a little bit later on, laying 8.5 for the Battle of the Block S. In what, Ranieri, might be one of the first true, whoa, this is a conference game? As Syracuse hosts Stanford tonight in an ACC affair at the JMA Dome in there Central New York. But let's start with the start of the NFL Week 3 slate on a Thursday in MetLife, the Jets' home opener. But logistically, Joe, it's been an interesting start to the year for Aaron Rodgers and Gangrene. Monday night out in Northern California. They fly home for a couple of days of practice, then quickly out to Nashville on a Sunday, Week 2. They pick up their first win of the year. They cover as a 3.5-point favorite. And then on a short week, Thursday night football, it's the home debut in East Rutherford, New Jersey. But again, short week against what has been a feisty Patriots team to start this year. Not so much the case last night for New England, as Aaron Rodgers looks like his vintage MVP self from 2021, and the New York Jets dominate the Pats 24-3. Gangrene easily covering as a 6.5-point favorite. Joe, a total of 38.5 stays well under. If the Patriots cannot play from in front and dominate the game in the trenches and on the ground, we might see more results like this. But Aaron Rodgers throwing for more than 280 yards and 2 touchdowns last night leads New York to a victory and a cover in its home debut this season.
That was what Jet fans have been waiting for, right? And boy, oh boy, for a team like New England that has dominated the Jets over the years, and they have dominated them, this could finally be where the Jets turn the page, and it's a new era, both in New England and with the Jets. And I'm all for it as a Jets fan, but I'm very cautiously optimistic, Ben. You know that.
Yeah, but I think, Joe, this is your true evaluation piece of a New York Jets team that's going to be booked as a favorite much more often. Last night was just the 11th game under Robert Saleh as the head coach of New York. He became the head man back in 2021. The Jets were booked as a favorite. They're now 7-4 straight up in those games, 2 consecutive covers. They're now 5-5-1 against the spread. Plenty more reaction from Thursday Night Football. And if this is a key and correct evaluation piece for the rest of the season, history made last night in more ways than one in South Florida. The Dodgers go to Miami and win big, 20-4 over the Fish. But the night will be remembered for what Shohei Ohtani accomplished. First off in the season overall, becoming the first ever player in Major League Baseball history to have 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a single season. He did that last night in Miami. Why? Because he went 6-for-6 with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs and 2 stolen bases against Miami. History, again, in more ways than one for Shohei Ohtani. We are lucky, Joe, to watch this guy on a baseball diamond in our lifetime. And let's not forget, because he had elbow surgery in the offseason, he's not pitching this year. He'll do that more than likely starting once again in 2025.
Unbelievable. You know, I hope people understand, Ben, what kind of Halley's Comet it is that we're living through right now. I said the same thing with Tiger Woods in the day. Soak it in. Don't take it for granted. What you are witnessing here is truly a Halley's Comet. Ben, we may never in our lifetime again see anything even remotely close to what Shohei Ohtani is doing. So appreciate it while you can.
So 3 home runs last night. He's got 51 long balls this year. 2 stolen bags. He's got 51 stolen bases. Joe, in the history of Major League Baseball, only one player since RBIs became an official stat back in 1920, so well over a century ago, only one player in Major League Baseball over the course of his entire career has had a game with 10 or more RBIs. Shohei Ohtani did that last night. A game with 6 or more hits. Shohei Ohtani did that last night. A game with 5 or more extra bases. Base hits, 3 home runs, 2 doubles. Shohei Ohtani did that last night. A game with 3 or more home runs. Shohei Ohtani did that last night. A game with 2 stolen bases. Shohei Ohtani did that last night. All in the same game. Again, yep. The unicorn on the diamond. We are lucky to witness it all. 12 games yesterday in Major League Baseball. In playoff clinching scenarios at stake, the Guardians for the 2nd consecutive day in the 4th and final against their divisional foe in Minnesota. Walk it off. In extras, Andrés Giménez delivers the game-winning RBI as Cleveland beats Minnesota to take the 4-game set, winning 3 of 4 and clinch a playoff berth.
That's the kind of series that just demoralizes a franchise, yeah. Ben. And the Twins have to be talking to themselves right now. They had going into this series every opportunity to think, all right, this is it. We control our own destiny. And now it's out of their hands, Ben. I mean, totally demoralizing. Kudos to the Guardians, though, for getting it done.
Minnesota has now lost 9 of its last 13 games. They are in a tie for the 3rd and final AL wildcard spot with the surging Detroit Tigers. College football week number 4 officially underway in a beautiful setting that is Kid Brewer Stadium in Boone, North Carolina. But it was not a beautiful night for the home team in the more than touchdown favorite Appalachian State in a Sun Belt contest against South Alabama. The Jags go on the road and win outright as more than a touchdown underdog, 48-14.
Embarrassing by App State. No way should they be losing like that to South Alabama in any way, shape, or form. That's too much returning talent on App State that terrible last night in front of the home fans. That is one of the worst losses I can remember in a long time for them.
And they've looked really bad. They got blown out by Clemson in certain spots this year. Elsewhere in college football, Arch Manning set to make his first career start for Texas on Saturday as the Longhorns get ready to host UL Monroe. Quinn Ewers still dealing with the abdominal injury. Arch Manning steps up and in for his first career start.
And let this go on the record here, Ben, that we will no longer hear from Quinn Ewers. Thank you very much for your service here at the University of Texas. This will be the last time he starts in a game for the University of Texas. Mark my words.
Ooh, that's spicy. I disagree, but Texas, a 44.5-point favorite against ULM on Saturday. T. Higgins back at practice for the Bengals. Might he play week 3 as Cincy looks for their first win of the season?
I don't think it matters if he does or not. They're still going to blow out Washington. But it would certainly be nice to get them all on the field at the same time, wouldn't it, Ben?
It would, since he more than a touchdown favorite in the doubleheader on Monday night against the Commanders. The Atlanta Dream winning on the road in Brooklyn 78-67 as a short road favorite. They clinched the 8th and final WNBA playoff spot. And Joel Embiid just signed a huge contract extension, 3-year, $193 million deal. More from Thursday Night Football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
dominance last night at MetLife, the home opener in East Rutherford, New Jersey, for the New York Jets. Short week Thursday night football game to kick off week number three, Ranieri. It was a divisional duel for a second consecutive week. The Patriots, much more competitive than we expected them to be in their first two games of the year. An outright victory as the largest underdog of the entirety of the week one slate, 7.5 points in Cincinnati, and forcing overtime last week in their home opener in Foxborough against the Seahawks. New England, who entered the year with the lowest win total around the National Football League, only 4.5, was 1-0-1 against the closing number entering last night. Didn't matter what the closing number was in favor of Gangrene, they were dominant. The Jets win easily, 24-3 over New England. Vintage Aaron Rodgers in his home debut in 2024 for the Jets. 281 yards and 2 touchdowns as the Jets win 24-3. Covering as a 6.5 point favorite, a total that was already sub 40 stays well under 38.5. Joe, the Patriots become the first team this year out of the now the 9 scenarios of a 6-point underdog or greater failing to cover a number. 6+ point underdogs now 8-1 yeah. against the spread.
Yeah, it's I mean, this game wasn't close from the beginning, Ben. When you watched it, there was clearly a discrepancy with talent on both sides of this ball. But, you know, listen, we knew New England was very banged up heading into this game. 3 of their 5 starting offensive linemen didn't play. They don't have a wide receiver. They basically have been competitive in 2 games because they were able to run the ball with Stevenson. But once that was taken away, Ben, which the Jets did a great job of, they had nothing. They have no second pitch, and it was quite evident. But that's last night is all about the Aaron Rodgers, no more rust, there is no more concern in my mind about any sort of lingering effect of the injury from a year ago. I think that is all good news for the New York Jets. And he finally threw a touchdown pass to a first-round wide receiver draft pick, Ben. Can you imagine? Dude's got almost 500 TDs, and then what? He finally throws to a number one wide receiver, a number one pick? That's crazy.
It is crazy. And the offensive rookie of the year from 2 years back in 2022, Garrett Wilson, finds the end zone for the first time this year. Aaron Rodgers has thrown 5 total touchdowns this season, 2 to running backs, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. Now 1 to Garrett Wilson, 2 to Alan Lazard, who has 3 total touchdowns this year for the New York Jets. That partnership stemming from their time in Green Bay, now here in New York. And Joe, as we said, entering the Sunday slate last week, you and I had this exact conversation. I would be fascinated to see how the Jets perform in Tennessee, booked as the favorite. They were the underdog week one on the road, of course, against the San Francisco 49ers, and an underdog so many times last year after only 4 offensive snaps ended the entirety of Aaron Rodgers' first year with the Jets. Last night was just the 11th time New York had been booked as the favored side under Robert Saleh. 7-4 straight up, 5-5-1 against the spread, both times this year 2-0 ATS. And Joe, one thing I always find fascinating for talking heads like ourselves, not in football meeting rooms or in NFL facilities, if we are having a conversation and diagnosing what has become a very obvious schematic plan for the New England Patriots, play from in front, shorten the game, run the football, do not ask Jacoby Brissett to do too much. If we know these things, pretty matter of fact, wouldn't the New York Jets and thus wouldn't the Patriots maybe try something new? No, not really.
No.
Last night, the Jets punted on their opening offensive possession. It wasn't a 3-and-out. The Patriots then punt after gaining 1 yard on 3 plays. The Jets score a touchdown, the Alan Lazard touchdown pass. And when New York played from in front, it was the first time in their first 3 games the Pats did not hold the initial lead of said football contest. And thus playing from behind, as we saw on display, not a good recipe for success for the Patriots, either pulling off the outright upset or even keeping a game close and competitive, trying to cover a large number.
I mean, listen, they had 40 yards at the break. They only ended up with 139 yards. Jacoby Brissett was jailbreak every play, running for his life, sacks five times. Then they poor Drake May had to come in.
Yeah.
And then he starts running for his life. He ends up getting sacked a couple of times. So kudos to the Jets D. They had a first time in a long time, Ben, I can say, hey, the coaching staff had a plan. They executed it with their guys. The injuries were concerning last week, but not when you play the New England Patriots, who quickly came back down to earth after a fast start.
And the Jets were not great defending the run either of the first 2 weeks. Nope. Jordan Mason ran for a buck 47 in the opener. Even Tennessee as a team put up 130 yards last week in Nashville. And the Jets were a bottom 10 rushing defense last season. So entering last night, you thought maybe that was an advantage if New England even had one. 15 carries as a team for 78 yards. But Antonio Gibson, 5 carries, 29 yards. Ramondre Stevenson, the first time this year, Joe, he has had less than 21 attempts in a game, 6 for 23. Jacoby Brissett has not thrown for at least 150 yards this year, 98 yards last night. And you're right, Drake May did make his NFL debut. But let's flip to the positive now, because this is kind of what we expected out of the Pats, not to be the best team in the National Football League. Underdogs had been covering at such a large clip. New England had been great covering numbers so far this season. The Jets looked really, really good. And you mentioned the 40-year-old quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, coming back from the Achilles injury. But it happened just 4 offensive snaps into his first year in New York, so he had plenty of time to heal, to rest up, and get healthy. Looked a little bit rusty against the Niners. Looked better, smoother, efficient in the second half last week against the Titans. And last night, well over his passing yards prop, Joe, of 212.5, finishing with 281 and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, all the way around, great effort by Aaron Rodgers. Everybody, in typical Aaron Rodgers fashion, he got everybody involved in the game, all weapons. Yep. That's good. That's what Nathaniel Hackett brings to the table when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback.
Tyler Conklin, the tight end, the leading receiver, with 93 yards last night. Mike Williams got involved. Braylon Allen, the rookie from Wisconsin, 55 yards on the ground, the leading rusher. More of the season outlook next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Football Friday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. The football weekend now officially underway. Week 3 around the NFL kicking off last night on a Thursday in New Jersey. The New York Jets dominate the New England Patriots 24-3. A divisional victory for the Jets, their first this year. The Jets entered the season, Joe, as the favorites to win the AFC East. We'll see where those odds have updated now. As of this moment, the odds just started to come back up on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but not the divisional prices for this specific division, the AFC East. Let's start with the good. That's the New York Jets. The win total remains 9.5. The over has the juice. They are favored at minus 168 to make the postseason. It would snap the 13-year playoff drought, the longest around the National Football League for the Jets, missing out on the playoffs in the National Football League. Based on what you have seen now through 3 weeks, a 2-1 start, 2-0 against the number booked as a favorite. Is this the time in 2024 that Aaron Rodgers leads the New York Jets back to the playoffs for the first time in more than a decade?
Well, it wasn't the market certainly thought so, Ben, because this number was, you know, almost double digits here to throughout the preseason. We thought what we got last night, the market was spot on. They thought this was a team, especially the way the schedule lines up. And if you look at this schedule coming up for the New York Jets this year, they've got a lot of primetime games, but they have a lot of rest advantages over teams. They're going to be booked as a favorite in a lot of these down the stretch. A lot of very winnable games. And if they keep playing like that, what we saw last night against lesser teams, they're not going to be doing the classic, you know, you lost a game, you should have won. I don't think that's happening. I think it only gets better from here for the Jets.
The New York Jets entering this season had the fourth easiest schedule in the National Football League, according to Sharp Football Analytics, that takes in all of those categories we use to set lines on a weekly basis. Rest advantage, travel, logistics, all of that stuff. And on paper, the Jets did not have the most difficult schedule to start this season. The Titans and the Patriots, two of their first three games. But just with all of the moving parts out on the West Coast, back to Nashville quickly on a short week, and then their home opener, but on the shortest week you can have. Logistically, it was difficult. They handled their business when they were expected to win a game. They won both of the two, booked as a favorite, and covered the number. I believe the New York Jets will be in the playoffs. Right now, the Jets are tied for the fifth best price to win the AFC Championship, Ranieri, at an 11-1 number. The Bills have the best price of any team from this division at 5-1, 50 cents in front of the Texans, plus 550 for Houston, second best price for Buffalo, but still half the way is Kansas City in front at plus 250. As I mentioned, the AFC East divisional prices are not updated or out on this moment on the FanDuel Sportsbook. How would you, if you were playing bookmaker, set the divisional odds? Would the Jets be the favorites? Would it still be Buffalo ahead of them by a half a buck, a dollar? What would you be looking at?
Oh, I think Buffalo certainly would be probably somewhere around the minus 125, 130 mark, and then the Jets would be plus 150, and you could go from there. And I think the injury to Tua certainly helped those will help those odds for both Buffalo and the Jets, and obviously New England, we all thought would struggle this year, and I think that that's about to happen in a big way for them moving forward. So it really is just a two-horse race in the AFC East.
Yeah, Miami 4.5-point underdog this week in Seattle. It's going to be difficult for the Dolphins to generate that offense without Tua Tagovailoa, of course, placed on injured reserve earlier this week. Now quickly to the Pats. Because, Joe, I think there was a thought the Patriots are going to be booked as an underdog all 17 games this season, as we have seen through the first three in a 6.5-point dog last night. But they were so good at covering numbers, or at least keeping games closer than expected the first 2 weeks, maybe we could profit on the Pats as the underdog quite frequently. How do you feel about New England now after what you saw last night?
Well, their style of football, Ben, is sustainable. So I wish they had a few more weapons, but I think what you're seeing with New England is that they're going to do what you expect them to do. They are going to be a run first team a lot. They're going to play some tight ends with Hunter Henry because that's really their only option. And they're going to have to play good defense. That will keep them in games against a lot of teams they probably shouldn't be in games with, but I still don't know that they get the 5 wins.
Yeah, it is interesting, right? Preseason win total lowest around the NFL, 4.5 after the upset victory in Cincy. That number was 6.5 entering last night. Oof. Back down by a full game to 5.5. Major League Baseball in history, courtesy of Shohei Ohtani. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Now, the Dodgers were a road favorite yesterday in Miami, so beating the Marlins 20-4 isn't all that crazy, even with 20 runs. But you might be thinking to yourself, how did they get to 20 in a baseball game? His name is Shohei Ohtani, who made Major League Baseball history in more ways than one last night in Miami. Let's talk about the game itself first. 6 hits and 6 at-bats. 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. He scored 4 runs, and he stole 2 bases. Again, Joe, I said this at the start of the show, but it bears repeating because it was a historic performance. Since the RBI became an official stat back in 1920, over a century ago in America's pastime, only one Major League Baseball player over the course of his career has totaled up a game of all of these requirements. 10 or more RBIs once in his career, 6 or more hits once in his career, 5 or more extra base hits once in his career, 3 or more more home runs once in his career, at least two stolen bases once in his career, a game to solidify all of those positions just at one time throughout what could be a 12, 14, 16-year Major League Baseball career. Shohei Ohtani did it all in his career in one single game last night in South Florida. And, oh, by the way, the three home runs gives him 51 this season. The two stolen bags gives him 51 so far this season. He became also the first player in MLB history to hit 50 home runs and steal 50 bases in the same season. We have said it before. We will say it again. A unicorn on the diamond and the greatest to ever do it.
I mean, there are just so many things that in the way to do it, to create his own club, the 50-50 club, Ben, in that way is just the thing that legends are made of here. And I can't help but to wonder if any of this happens, if he's a pitcher this year, Ben. And I think it's a fair question. Because yep. If this is what he is capable of just being an everyday hitter, an everyday player DH, why in the world would I want him to do? I don't want you to pitch. What good would he have done the Dodgers pitching this year if he didn't? And oh, yeah, by the way, maybe the greatest thing of all of this is that we finally get to see him in October, don't we?
Yes, we do finally get to see him in October. The Dodgers well on their way to winning the National League West for an 11th time in the last 12 MLB seasons. But, Joe, I do think that is fascinating because Shohei Ohtani is going to run away with the National League MVP award. He's won multiple MVP awards during his time in the American League because not only is he great at the dish, he also was pitching on the bump. I wonder if there are internal conversations with Shohei and the Dodgers about him even pitching again. We expect him to do so after he recovers from the elbow injury, but he's putting up these numbers as just a DH and is still going to run away with the most valuable player award in the National League. That is what is insane. An everyday DH winning the MVP. Well, when you're making history in so many different facets, it is hard to not be in consideration, let alone run away with the award. You see the numbers this year for Shohei Ohtani. He founded his own club, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases in a single season. So, yes, the Dodgers are going to win the National League West. They have a four-game lead over the Padres. They have clinched a postseason berth. They are on their way with a couple of more wins to clinching the NL West again for the 11th time in the last 12 years. And right now, Joe, they are tied atop the National League for the best record in baseball and in the NL alongside Philadelphia, 91-62, as the heated race is on for that top overall seed in the National League. It's part of our headlines from yesterday. The New York Mets just keep winning baseball games. 10 runs in three consecutive games for the Amazons. The first time in franchise history for New York doing that. 10 or more runs in three consecutive games. They got to Taiwan Walker early and often in the opener yesterday, winning 10-6 as a home favorite against the best team in the National League entering.
Yeah, and well, we were all worried once Lindor went down. We're like, oh boy, you know, what are the Mets going to do? Well, what they're going to do is just go out and start scoring double-digit runs every game. It really doesn't make a darn bit of difference here. So the Mets really, as far as I'm concerned, have put themselves in a position where they control their own destiny now.
Sure.
And that's a good spot to be in when you're playing some of your best offensive baseball that you've played all year long, minus your best piece at the top of the order.
Who, if Shohei Ohtani did not exist or still played in Anaheim, Francisco Lindor more than likely would have won the National League MVP award. The Mets have won six of their last eight games. New York now 13-4 in September. And, Joe, these are the important ones for New York. They took advantage against the Nationals. They swept Washington, one of the easier teams, at least on paper, still remaining. But this four-game set against Philly seemed to be a daunting task, as Philadelphia is still in the running for that number one 1 overall seed, of course, before they go to Atlanta on Tuesday in a series that might decide the season. Speaking of the Braves, they hammered the Reds yesterday in the rubber match in Cincy, 15-3. Chris Sale, great once again. Atlanta was a minus 220 money line favorite. Sale now 18-3 this year with a 2.38 ERA. Both of those are the best in MLB. He's going to win the National League Cy Young Award. Five innings of work, allowing two earned runs. It wasn't his most stellar start, but Joe, 18 consecutive starts now for Sale where he has not allowed more than two earned runs. That dates back to the beginning of June.
Yeah, it's some of these teams here, especially with like Atlanta. I think it's stick a fork time in here. Give the personal accolades out. It's great. Individuals had it, but that was one team, injuries aside, that might be the most, when we look back on it, the most disappointing season of any club that was expected to make, and not just make, but they were expected to win their division as well. And it's been anything but a great season for them.
For a seventh straight year for Atlanta, if they are going to have some life, they trail both the D-backs and the Mets by two games for those last spots in the National League wild card chase. They are going to need guys like Matt Olson, who had two home runs and four RBIs in Cincy yesterday, and Michael Harris Jr., who hit a home run in all three games against the Reds in the Great American Small Park. Yep. Four home runs in total, two yesterday with four RBIs. The O's have been struggling since the All-Star break. They avoid a sweep at home against San Francisco as Anthony Santander walks it off with a two-run home run. But Joe, a blown save out of Sir Anthony Dominguez, of course, in the same week that Craig Kimbrell was DFA'd. Baltimore's got some issue in the back end of that bullpen. But yesterday, all eyes on the American League Central and Cleveland, some day baseball for the fourth and final game of that set between the Guardians and the Twins. Cleveland rallies again to walk it up for a second consecutive day in the bottom of the 10th. Andrés Giménez delivers the game-winning RBI. Cleveland edges out Minnesota 3-2. The Guardians clinch an American League playoff berth, still well in front in the American League Central. The Twins have dropped 9 of their last 13 games. So as of this Friday morning, entering the weekend, it's Minnesota and Detroit tied for the final wild card spot in the American League.
You would have said that a month ago, Ben. They would have thought you were crazy. Wait, Detroit? Did you say Detroit was good? Yeah, Detroit, exactly. Who quietly under the radar has one of the best pitching staffs we've seen here since about mid-July. They got healthy with some of their young studs that they brought up here, Ben. And this is a real team who's playing with confidence with the right manager at the right time, can sneak in. And boy, oh boy, that's a dangerous team heading into the playoffs if they pull this off.
Yes, they certainly are. And Joe, since August 22nd, when the Tigers were four games below 500, they are 18-7 in their last 25. They did lose the season series to their divisional mates in Minnesota, so the Twins would have the tiebreaker advantage if they ended with the same record. From baseball to the Sunday slate in the National Football League, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get you set for week 3 in the Sunday slate around the National Football League. A week, Joe, that could dictate a lot for a season already here with the first 3 weeks of this NFL season. And we're going to learn a lot here in week 3. I think week 1, we overreact. Week 2, we learn some things, but still a small sample size early on. Week 3, I think we start to get a more clear picture on what these franchises truly have in store for the entirety of 2024. And there's a couple of spots on the slate where we are going to be taught many, many things, including at the Star Sunday afternoon in Dallas. It's the Cowboys and the Ravens. Dallas at home, an ever so slight favorite against the Baltimore Ravens, as you can see there. But again, it's ever so slight in favor of the Cowboys. And Joe, this is a very intriguing spot. Oh, now it's actually flipped to Baltimore. Excuse me. Point and a half in favor of the Ravens, minus 112 on the money line, which I think also tells us a lot about what this game is expected to be, because Baltimore is in danger of starting 0-3 if they are to lose on the road against the team we expect to be a conference contender. So, Ranieri, it's a virtual pick'em. Do the Ravens avoid an 0-3 start? And if so, that would mean Dallas starts just 1-2 as well.
Hey, listen, Ben, it's kind of crazy when you look at this point, and we're going, I mean, we're talking the Ravens here, who are kind of in uncharted territory with the thought of starting 0-3. But usually right. Dallas is completely the opposite. Dallas is usually at this point, they've already boat raced a couple of teams. They're usually 2-0, about to be 3-0. We don't see the wheels falling off Dallas until usually after Thanksgiving. That's when right. the wheels really start to fall off. So right now, it's such an anomaly. I don't know what – I can't think of two teams I trust less than in a big game than these two right now. The offensive right. line issues for Baltimore are real. If Lamar Jackson doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. You're also exposing Lamar Jackson to taking way more hits than you should be at this point in his career. And what we saw from the Cowboys getting dismantled at home last week against the Saints, none of that to me is sustainable here. So I just don't know what we're going to get. It's a pick 'em for a reason here. It's one of those games, Ben, where I'll take the over and I'll just sit back and watch this game and see what happens.
47.5 is that number. And Joe, I think it's a pick 'em because of uncertainty, not like great. We've got two heavyweights facing off in Dallas on Sunday. Yep. So here is what is at stake for the Ravens, who are 0-2, unexpectedly so, because of Isaiah Likely's toe and because of an utter collapse last week at home, leading by double digits early in the fourth quarter as an 8.5-point favorite against the Las Vegas Raiders. Week two, far more damning than that season debut in Arrowhead. Since the postseason expanded to 7 teams in each conference with the addition of that extra wild card team. That was back in 2020, Joe. Only two teams that have started winless 0-2 out of the 32 that have made the postseason. Only 5 of those 32 0-2 teams since the start of 2020 have even finished with a winning record. That's where it gets a little bit dicey for Baltimore. But the danger of starting 0-3 is almost insurmountable. Since 2000, Joe, only one team has started winless through their first 3 weeks, 0-3, and made it to the postseason. The 2018 Houston Texans, 0-3 teams in the history of the National Football League have won a Super Bowl. And let's call a spade a spade. The Baltimore Ravens had that expectation this year to get back to the AFC title, to get past the Kansas City Chiefs, to use their two-time NFL MVP Lamar Jackson to contend for a Lombardi Trophy. All of that could be out the window, Joe, based on the result Sunday afternoon at the Star.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to believe that these are the two franchises that we have the most questions with heading into week three. I mean, there are some 2-0 teams that probably should not be 2-0. There's a couple of 0-2 teams that are better than that. But these two teams, my goodness, I have no idea. I do know that they are both similar where their former defensive coordinators are now head coaches. So there is an adjustment period here, Ben, because the preseason rankings for both these defenses were way higher than the level of play that we have seen. So I do think it's going to take a little while for everyone to get used to what's going on. You got Zimmer in the booth there for Dallas now. He's not Dan Quinn. They still have the talent, Ben, both. The question is, will the defenses get better this week moving forward, or are we going to get what we got in the fourth quarter against the Raiders and in that game against the Saints? Time will tell.
when Dallas gave up 44 points and never even had a puncher's chance. The Cowboys plus 850 now to win the NFC Championship, the longest number we have seen on Dallas at any point through the preseason, the offseason, training camp, or here early through the first 2 weeks, now entering week three. But that's been the issue, not regular season success for the Cowboys. The win total now for Dallas, just 9.5, Joe. The over still has the juice to get to double digits, but the Cowboys have won 12 games each of the past three seasons. 9.5 the win total for Baltimore as well, the NFL's best team last year with the best mark at 13-4. Because Lamar Jackson has had to do everything, he has thrown for at least 247 in each of the first two games for the flock this season. You see his props for Sunday. He had 45 rushing yards last week, 16 carries for more than 100 yards in week number one. That's not necessarily a good thing that he's running like with his head cut off because his O-line cannot block anybody. Dak Prescott, last week playing from behind against New Orleans, did throw for 293, but that's not really the recipe for success either. And I think the glaring issue for Dallas, Joe, outside of the defensive woes to start this season, or at least week two against New Orleans, is in non-existent ground game. 21 carries for 68 yards as a team last week, just 3.2 yards per pop.
Lamar is, and we'll get to it a little bit later, but he is somebody I'm going to be focusing on a lot of props this week here, Ben, because I have a feeling I know what we're going to get from him this week.
Yeah, he's going to need a generational type performance to avoid a generational failure through just three games for Baltimore this season. Another big one in the Big East. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So now we go to New Orleans on a Sunday. The New Orleans Saints have maybe been the most impressive slash surprising team based on how dominant they have been, especially on the offensive end in their first 2 weeks of this season. 47 against Carolina, 44 even more impressive last week in Dallas, snapping a 16-game home winning streak in the regular season for the Cowboys. Joe, 91 total points for the Saints. No other team has more than 70. The Cardinals have the second most total points scored this year with 69 through 2 weeks. And, of course, we know the overall offensive struggles that we have seen throughout the National Football League. So a really big game on Sunday to continue to back up this impressive start against an Eagles team that should also, frankly, be 2-0, but coughed up a 5 or 6 point lead in the final 90 seconds on Monday night against Atlanta. And here's where it gets interesting. Are the Saints worthy of being a 2.5 point home favorite against a team we expect to contend for the NFC crown? It's a 2.5 point spread in favor of the Saints, the total up there at 49 and a hook. Joe, in your estimation, does it make sense to see New Orleans laying near a field goal at home against the Birds?
Well, listen, I mean, you can take the Carolina game and throw it out the window, right? It was, let's just focus on what we saw on the road against a Dallas defense that many people believed, Ben, was going to be one of the best in the NFL. You bring in a new offensive coordinator there in Clint Kubiak, and one of the, what we thought, Ben, ahead was one of the least talented offensive lines in the NFL this year, and in typical Kubiak fashion, because the old man did this a lot too, he would make this unit look like they were all world. And that's what's happening. Yeah. You realize the Saints scored touchdowns on their first six drives in Dallas, and all but one of them was at least 70 yards, Ben. It is unbelievable. You can't get the Derek Carr. Dallas blitzed him over 40% of the time. They couldn't get to him. And he's finding the open receivers, and they're getting yards after the catch. This is a real offense. The question is whether the defense can hold up. But how good has the defense got to be, Ben, when you're scoring 40 points a game, to be completely honest here? And Philly has way more questions on defense than we have answers right now.
Way more questions on defense. They were bad against the pass. They were bad against the pass when it mattered most on Monday night. They were decent against the run. They got torched for nearly 8 yards per pop against Green Bay in a game that, sure, you could blame the field conditions in Sao Paulo for defenders slipping and sliding, but they have not been good defensively. And they weren't great against Bijan Robinson on Monday night either, and that would be a recipe for disaster, it would seem, against the best scoring offense in the National Football League through 2 weeks. When nobody's putting up points, the Saints have averaged 45.5 per game. And I'll tell you one other thing, Joe. The Eagles under Nick Sirianni are the worst underdog team in the National Football League. Sirianni became the head coach in Philly in 2021. The Eagles have the worst ATS record and cover percentage as an underdog in that span, 4-9 ATS. All right, what about when they made it to the Super Bowl in 2022 and were often booked as a favorite a season ago? Even worse, 1-3 against the spread. When they've been an underdog, there seems to have been a reason. And Joe, this is the type of game week three where the Saints can make a statement. If they win, they cover as just a short 2.5-point favorite in the Big Easy. They're off to a 3-0 start, doing so not just against Carolina week one, but hammering the Cowboys and the Eagles. So how do you look at New Orleans based on what happens week number three?
Yeah, it feels like, Ben, the way to look at this game is from a total perspective, because I do think that Jalen Hurts and the offense will have a lot of success here against this defense. I think points are coming. I would also imagine that these two teams, the scripted portion of the game in the first half is probably where you're going to get the most points. I would not be shocked at all if this is a wild one early and then there's some adjustments in the second half and the scoring slows down. So that's how I would look at this. I'd look for both of these teams, their team total over in the first half, Ben, because I do think this is going to be a wild shootout to start.
The Eagles now at 6-1, third best price in the NFC behind the favorites in San Francisco, dealing with their own injury issues, and Detroit by half a buck. If the Saints win, that 12-1 number ain't going to be there. And frankly, it might be slashed in half or close to it come Monday morning. Hour two comes up next, live right here on the Early Line.